Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Leah Stewart will be here in about 20 minutes to discuss her new novel, The History of Us, the story of a family coping with a tragic loss and a battle over a house. It's set here in Cincinnati, and city landmarks play a prominent role. And later, Alan Alda talks with Dean Regas about his love of science and a contest that asks scientists to explain what is time to a sixth grader. Speaker of the House John Boehner of Ohio was reelected to his post this week, but his next term could be a rough one. WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson joins Marianne Zalesnik to talk about what's ahead for the Westchester Republican.
Good morning, Howard. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So John Boehner had a bit of a week. I don't know that some would call it his best week ever. Why don't you tell us how you would describe it?
A bit of a week is an understatement. He had quite a week, and it wasn't a really good week in a lot of ways. It wasn't a good month in a lot of ways. He had his own, you know, he had problems back before Christmas trying to get his own plan on trying to avoid the fiscal cliff. He couldn't even bring it to a vote because he knew he didn't have the support within his own Republican caucus. And then he seemed to be cut out of the negotiations, which finally ended up in a deal. You know, Vice President Biden, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the minority leader, the ones that put the thing together, he brought it to a vote in the House. And when he brought it to a vote in the House, 151 of his 242 Republican House members voted against it.
And that's not common for when a speaker brings something up, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, usually, you know, you want to have, you know, pretty much, you know, at least majority support. And he didn't have that. And then there was a whole lot of discussion about whether or not he would be challenged for the speakership. In the end, he wasn't. He lost like three votes. Three people within the House delegation voted for Eric Cantor. And he's reelected as speaker. But clearly, he has a lot of problems within his own party. He has a group of moderate Republicans who want him to move ahead and ignore the Tea Party caucus, the people who were, you know, elected in 2010 with a whole lot of Tea Party support. And then there are the Tea Party people who don't want to compromise. They don't want to compromise on taxes. They don't want to compromise on spending. They don't want to compromise on debt ceiling.
How does he manage all of that? What's that role going to be like?
Well, it's herding cats. I mean, you know, he's going to have to play this very carefully. Now, he says that he is going to go back to the basic rules of the House, where legislation doesn't just land on members' desks and they have a few minutes to read it and then vote. That, you know, he wants to go, you know, back to the hearing process, to the committees, to debate, to amendments, and do things in a more traditional way.
And what effect do you think that will have? I mean, how will that change what's been going on?
Well, it's still going to be very difficult because, you know, we avoided the fiscal cliff with this legislation. And, you know, there was a tax increase on people making over $450,000 a year. But within the next few months, there are some very, very difficult issues that have to be dealt with. The debt ceiling is one of them. Spending, obviously, is another one. And tax reform is on the table. And he's going to have a very hard time putting together a majority in his own caucus on a lot of these issues.
So how will this mean there will be no movement then in the House? Will it be an unproductive term again for the House?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, it depends on how he plays it and how he, you know, how skillful a negotiator he is within his own caucus. I mean, generally speaking, a speaker who has a president who is of the opposite party and a Senate, which is controlled by the opposite party, has to negotiate with them. And in his case, he has to negotiate within his own caucus and try to bring them together.
So let's talk about what this all means. If he's successful, I assume that he'll continue on in his role. If he's not successful, what does that mean for him as speaker?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, obviously it's been a difficult time for him. It's a very difficult job. Whether or not he would run, you know, 2 years from now for speaker, assuming he's reelected, which he probably is, because he had no opposition in the 2012 election. You know, maybe he will have had enough by then.
And is there anyone lining up, you think, to take his place yet?
Well, I think, I mean, the obvious people are people like Eric Cantor, who is the House Majority Leader, you know, the number two person. Somebody else might emerge from the Tea Party caucus. But as far as any challenge at this point, that's over with. He is the Speaker.
Now, you mentioned earlier that he was sort of cut out of the negotiations when it sort of turned down to Vice President Biden and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell that were sort of working together on that. Was any of that done on purpose to protect Boehner, or was it truly a brush-off?
Well, no, I think it was in part a recognition of the fact that Boehner had a very difficult time putting together a majority within his own caucus. The president knows it. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, knows it. Nancy Pelosi knows it. And it made John Boehner less of a player in the negotiations just because he could not deliver his delegation, his caucus.
When he was first elected Speaker, you were there for his swearing in and all of that. Was there any indication that he would have this rough of a time in that job?
Well, I think there was always kind of a feeling. I mean, you know, after the 2010 election, and then, of course, he was elected Speaker, that was the election where all these Tea Party folks came in. And I think John Boehner, you know, is a smart enough politician. He knew that he was going to have trouble with them in terms of compromising with Democrats on spending issues, on taxes, on those sort of things. John Boehner is a natural compromiser. I mean, that's what he does. He's a legislator. And he doesn't have any problem, you know, reaching across the aisle and trying to work things out. But in order to be able to do that, he has to have the support of his own Republican caucus. And that's very much in doubt.
Do you think that the Tea Party has changed the way Congress will operate for a long time, or is this a temporary change?
Well, I think the 2014 elections will tell a whole lot about that. You know, whether or not a whole lot of these people survive, whether or not they're challenged in Republican primaries, it's hard to say. One of the reasons why John Boehner has been able to rise as far as he has over his years in Congress is that he has raised a whole lot of money for all Republican congressional candidates. And I'm talking about millions and millions of dollars. He put together like $21 million in the last election cycle between his own campaign committee and his leadership pack. And the leadership pack is what he uses to basically hand out direct contributions to Republicans running for Congress. And there's not a one of them in Congress right now who has not benefited from that. And I think even the Tea Party folks understand that he is the fundraiser in chief.
So money still talks.
Money still talks, always will.
Howard, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.
I want to remind everybody that you can read more about John Boehner in Howard's regular Sunday political speaking column. That's on our website every Sunday at WVXU.org. Howard Wilkinson is WVXU's political reporter. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Marianne Zalesnik.